Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Karen Scharf, co-chair of the Working Families Party and executive director of Citizens Action. Welcome, Karen. Karen, it's just great to have you here. I like to check in with you every once in a while to see if we can follow the bouncing ball.
Great to be here, Alan.
The bouncing ball in this case is there's a Working Families political convention, and Zephyr Teachout wanted the nomination. And I suspect she would have had it except for the paying partners in your group, the unions, stepping up to the plate and saying, uh-oh, I'm getting a stare from her, and saying, you know, we want Cuomo and de Blasio, the great liberal, standing up and saying, we need Cuomo as opposed to Zephyr Teachout. Every action gets reaction. There's always something that happens as a result. Looking back on that, what do you think?
Well, first, I need to correct your analysis a little bit.
Sure.
The decision that was made at our state convention last year was a vote of our state committee, which is an elected body, elected by assembly district, of people who represent their assembly districts at the state committee. And while, of course, the unions like Citizen Action, like other community groups, are major partners in building the Working Families Party and in organizing our activities.
And paying
in
for
the
it.
End, some of the funding, not the majority, actually, some of the significant portion, but not the majority of the funding. But in the end, that vote was a Democratic vote. I think anyone who was at that convention could testify to the fact that it was contentious, hard-fought, and close. It was a tough decision because there were strong arguments on both sides about what the different endorsement decisions could mean in the long run for New York politics, apart from whatever people thought at that moment about the two candidates. And I think that the reason that the mayor argued for the vote, and that a lot of people who maybe were not
argued for the Cuomo endorsement,
and that a lot of people who maybe were not big Cuomo fans voted for him anyway, was because we were looking forward at that time toward having a partnership to take the state Senate and have a state Senate that would be a state Senate that would actually pass policies in favor of working families, good jobs, good schools, a government that would actually respond to ordinary New Yorkers, not the billionaire donors.
So
we didn't. We lost that by one vote. If we had won one Senate seat, we would have had the state Senate.
Yeah.
We would have very different politics right now. And so to kind of bring it, as you said, follow the bouncing ball, to bring it to the present now, we're looking right now at a state Senate that is not willing to fight for working New Yorkers. And that's what we were trying to avoid. We were trying to elect a state Senate that would actually represent us.
But Karen, I'm afraid I can't let you off the hook entirely. Because as you know, Cuomo stood up, promised the convention that he would work for a state Democratic Senate, which many people think, at least he didn't tell the truth. Whether he was purposeful in that, we don't know. And so he didn't do that. And then he went out and doubly screwed you folks when he established another party with similar women's party with similar interest as yours, maybe depriving you to maybe get even for embarrassing him. It was suggested by one author of a book for not having made him by acclamation.
I won't argue with you on any of that. I don't feel that the governor carried his end of the bargain. I don't feel like he did what he said he was going to do. And you're absolutely right. And that still lies against. So that brings us to the present. We're right now doing what we as a Working Families Party and a Citizen Action always do, which is fight for issues that are to the benefit of ordinary New Yorkers. And we have a problem because what we're seeing right now is both the governor and the state Senate, the Senate Republican majority, are being driven by what their campaign contributors from 2014 wanted. So the biggest campaign contributor in 2014 and for many years now, Leonard Littlen, real estate dealer, uses LSC loophole, huge loopholes in our campaign finance system, in order to be the biggest contributor in our elections. This guy circumvents every campaign finance rule there is because of the loopholes that we've created and that the governor and the Senate refused to change. He gave over $1 million to the governor. He gave over $1 million to the Senate Republicans. And what do we get? We get an education policy that's in the interest of privately run charter schools, and we get a set of tax giveaways to the wealthiest people in New York State.
And you may get, in fact, even more modifications to rent control in New York City.
And rent control is coming up for renewal in June, along with the what's known as the 421A tax break, which is the biggest tax break for these real estate developers. And we're going to see a fight over rent control and 421A tax breaks that is being driven by the fact that the Senate Republicans and the governor were funded by these big real estate developers. And here's a great example that's just astonishing. Some of these things you get used to in politics after a while. Here's one of the most astonishing examples to me. So the Senate that we just passed the state budget April 1st. Every time in the state budget, you know, both houses and the governor all sneak in a little bit of money that's for some pet projects, usually around education. Sure. They call it bullet aid in education. So some money from my school district is going to get in there if I have power. So the Senate Republicans put in this $25 million pot that no one really knew about till after the budget passed that was for their choice of whatever districts it should go to. Rather than it going to their home school districts, which is what would normally happen, they are sending all $25 million to privately run charter schools in New York City. My senator, George Amador, is not sending that money to the school district that my kids go to. Terrence Murphy got $2 million from these developers and billionaires toward his campaign last time. He's not sending it to the Hudson Valley districts in his district. They're sending it to privately run charter schools in New York City to pay off their donors. This is one of the most blatant examples of abuse of power that I've ever seen.
So fill in the circle for us. How does that actually work? The Senate comes up with this pot of money in negotiation with Andrew Cuomo, who's also for charter schools, this $25 million. Then, to some degree, we expect that having done this favor for the people who are running the charter schools, including the very wealthy people who are sponsoring them, they're going to get something back in the way of campaign contributions. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, so they've created, they got, in last year's race in 2014, when we were trying to make sure we'd get a Senate that was run by people who were going to fight for good schools, good jobs, and a government that would fight for ordinary New Yorkers, the hedge fund guy spent $2 million on one state Senate rate, Terrence Murphy in the Hudson Valley. They spent $4 million overall to make sure the Republicans would control the state Senate. And so what did they get? Lots of things in return for that. And a lot of them are the expected things like the yacht tax break and the private jet tax break. We don't see what's going to happen in rent and 421A, the yachts. But here's $25 million for schools that's desperately needed by schools in upstate New York. And these upstate senators, they're not sending it to their own district. They're about to vote on a package of which schools are going to get the money. And the list they're talking about, Dean Scalise announced it right after the budget. This is going to charter schools to raise charter school payments.
I want to make sure that I set the record straight and correct something you said. You were talking about George Amador, and you referred to him as my senator. But I'm assuming you didn't vote for him.
Absolutely not. But unfortunately, he represents my district, and he's not doing a very good job of it. Because even though I didn't vote for him, I would think he would get in there and try to fight for money for the schools in my district. And here he wants to send the money down to New York City privately run charter schools. What possible reason is that, except that he needs those campaign donors for his next campaign when people go and try to defeat him for office? This is one thing, and I could rant and rave forever about this one thing, but the reality is, unfortunately, it's emblematic of the entire problem we have right now in our state government, which is it's being driven by these hedge fund billionaires and real estate developers who can spend millions of dollars year after year on elections and elect a Senate that doesn't represent ordinary New Yorkers.
Now, Karen Scharf, let me ask you this. If, in fact, as I expect is going to happen, Hillary Clinton runs for president, she will run well in New York, and you'll get all kinds of Democratic voters out, which almost always happens. So then your chances, because you've been espousing this, of having a Democratic Senate are much better than they are right now, right?
Yep.
Do you think that the behavior of the Republicans in any way can be attributed to the fact that they may end up in the minority and they don't want their conquerors doing to them what they did to them, to the other guys?
I mean, I think that there's the Democrats, and especially working families Democrats, have a very good chance of winning these Senate races in a presidential year. We won the last presidential year. I think we have a very good chance of winning again the next presidential year.
Even though the governor, because he failed to veto the reapportionment bill, allowed them to draw their own districts.
The lines are very gerrymandered. If we didn't have gerrymandered lines drawn by the Senate Republicans, we wouldn't have a Republican Senate. There's no question about that. And if we didn't have a campaign finance system that allowed our elections to be driven entirely by billionaires, we also wouldn't have a Republican Senate. There's no question about that. Despite those two things being true, and despite the governor's allowing, at best, and perhaps encouraging both of those things to happen, we wouldn't have a Republican state Senate. And despite all of that, in 2016, we're probably not going to have a Republican state Senate. And the thing that's good about that is not Republican-Democrat working families, but the fact that we have a chance now to elect senators who actually will represent their own districts and fight for things like jobs, schools, and a government that's accountable and not bought.
So, Karen Scharf, why in the world do you think that the governor seems to want a Republican Senate?
I'm not going to try to analyze his psyche.
Okay,
I think
if you don't do it,
know,
I'll do it.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm just kidding.
I think that the governor has packaged himself and performed as for most of his time as a governor, a fiscal conservative and social liberal, as those terms are generally used. He wants a Senate that will back him up on that.
Did you get the 50,000 voters you needed to remain on the ballot?
We got way more. We got over 100,000 voters. We actually did as well percentage-wise as we've done in the past. Our vote percentage didn't go down. It stayed the same. Unfortunately, there were a million less voters in 2014 than there were in 2010 because the governor was so unpopular. So the turnout was very low. And a million less voters for the governor meant a million less voters in our state Senate races, which really killed our Senate races. We hope that in 2016 we'll have a much more motivated voters, not only for the presidential, but also because people are angry. Look at what's happening in education in this state. Interestingly and strangely, the governor's policies have totally led to a realignment where parents, teachers, administrators, all stakeholders in our public school system are in agreement that these right-wing corporate education reform policies that the hedge fund billionaires are paying for, that the governor and the Senate are implementing, are not good for the children of New York and are not good for the future of our state.
And they certainly aren't good
against them.
And they certainly aren't good for the teachers who have let me know in no uncertain terms how angry they are. I mean, to me, as a political scientist, I always look at the passion that gets invested in any candidate. No, most people don't know about it. They don't care about it. But boy, do they know about Governor Cuomo and his stance on education.
I mean, that's the thing, is voters across the political spectrum are angry about what's happening with our schools because they see it. You can have good spin and convince people you're doing good things on the economy or some other issues, but people know very well what's happening in their schools and their community. You can't fool people what's happening in schools. And parents are very angry. We saw it with the opt-out movement. People are opting out not because they're against standards and not even in the most part because they're against tests, but they're against an education reform program that's geared at test and punish and using it as an excuse to starve our schools.
Now, Karen Scharf of the Working Families Party, I am going to throw out, you are a very good talker, but I'm going to ask you to, in a pithy but solid way, answer things that I throw out and just give me a couple of lines on each. Ready now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Casinos in upstate New York.
Not going to do much for the economy.
Well, why would we do it if we know that? If we know that casinos are closing around the country and in New Jersey, why would we do this?
Makes no sense to me. It's a failed economic development strategy. It's not the kind of industry that is good for either our economy or for our social infrastructure. I don't see any good reason for it.
Baltimore. Let's talk Baltimore for a moment. We have these riots. The whole country watches. The governor now says that he's going to do something interesting, which is to appoint special prosecutors when the police get themselves into trouble. I'm assuming that the reason this is that prosecutors and police departments in jurisdictions have very close relationships. They have to. Anybody who's ever watched Law and Order knows
that. Right.
Okay.
Right.
So therefore, you put it in the hands of somebody who doesn't have a partiality towards the police. Do you think it's a good idea?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of changes have to happen, both in the criminal justice system and in the kind of economy, unequal and racist economy that we're creating, where people have no options. But the immediate things are to address policing in our country, and we've got to have prosecutors who are free to go after police when they're guilty. And whether that's a special prosecutor or whether it's giving the attorney general the power to do that, one of those things needs to happen so that there's a way that people can feel confident and trust that justice is going to be done when there's a killing at the hands of the police.
So let's talk about corruption. We have Assemblyman William Scarborough, who was claiming he was in Albany and boosting his salary that way because he gets a stipend for every time he's here. He's now admitted he cheated. That's the old pop country song goes, so you cheated, you lied, you told me you love me. And he has pled guilty. I have a feeling there are knees knocking all over the legislature for people who may have done the same thing. And Attorney General Schneiderman, who clearly is positioning himself as a potential gubernatorial candidate if Andrew Cuomo decides not to seek a third term, is for a full-time legislature. Pay them a full-time salary and don't let them, as the Congress is not allowed to, take any outside money. What do you think?
I think it's a good idea. I think that we can look at each individual case of corruption, but what we really need to look at is the overall system. We have a system that breeds corruption in our state legislature.
Why? How does that work?
Because from the first day you decide to, a lot of good people run for office and they run for good reasons. They want to do something good for their community. From the first day you run for office, you're out asking for big money from big contributors who want you to do something in return. So we have a campaign finance system that creates a pay-to-play mindset and culture, and then lots of other kinds of corruption come in that may not be exactly campaign finance, but they're bred from a system where people see big money floating all around them and see the opportunity to get it and also see the need to have it for their campaigns. So I think a full-time legislature or significant limits on outside income is a good idea. I think closing the LLC loophole so we don't have people like these real estate developers being able to give millions of dollars personally to campaigns
just for our
every rule.
Just and for I our think, listeners, Karen, the LLC loophole is that you set up these LLCs which do not have to meet the same rules that individual contributors do.
Or the same rules. Corporate giving, direct corporate giving is very limited in our state, which is a good thing. But an LLC is treated like an individual. And so you can give each LLC can give as much as an individual. And then any individual can set up as many LLCs as they want, which means they can give an infinite amount of money.
Disgusting.
So it makes the campaign finance limits irrelevant. We got to get rid of that. And we need a small donor matching system so people can run for office on small donations and win.
Most people who are listening to this program may not know that in New York City, we have such a system.
Yes. And so New York City has a kind of system we'd like to see at the state level where people collect small donations from people who live in their districts, and those donations are matched by a public fund 6-to-1. So I give a candidate $10, that candidate gets $60 from the public fund. My $10 contribution is worth $70. So each small donation becomes both more valuable as a big donation, so that's worth your while as a candidate to go to small donors. You have to agree not to take those really huge donations, and you also have to agree to other limits on how you proceed with your campaign. And that allows people to run for office who don't have money and don't have access to money, and allows them to win. And as a result, we have a very diverse set of candidates who run for city council, a lot of competitive races, and a city council that is very different than our state legislature. And if you look at who gives to city council races in New York City and who from the same neighborhoods gives to assembly or Senate races, it's a completely different set of people because assembly and Senate races are fueled from a couple zip codes in Manhattan where there's very wealthy people. Whereas city council races, every single census tract has donors to city council races because people are going out to voters to fund their campaigns instead of to billionaires. It changes who runs, it changes who wins, and it changes the culture of the elected body once they're in because they're there to represent their constituents instead of to either cash in or represent the billionaires.
Do you think
it really
that,
changes things.
Karen Scharf, do you think that there'll ever be a time when we have such a system in upstate New York?
I do. I think we will have this system statewide. I think it's a matter of time. I had hopes we'd have it a lot sooner. Yeah. That's been very frustrating and disappointing. But I believe
the
that
the Senate
once,
doesn't want it.
The Senate Republicans don't want it because they correctly realize it will take away their advantage from the billionaires. And once we have a Senate that is not controlled by the Republicans and that is elected based on the kind of candidates that fight for good jobs, good schools, and an accountable government, we will pass public funding of elections and we will have a very different system in New York State.
Now, your executive director or you're the head of Working Families Party. What are you hearing from your members these days?
Mostly we're hearing that people want to see change in state government. They want to see the kind of stuff we're just talking about in terms of a government that's accountable to voters, not donors. They want to see an education system that really is focused on providing teaching and learning and a high-quality education in every public school in our state, regardless of where you live, regardless if you live in a poor community or a rich community. And they want to see state education policy that encourages that instead of moving us backwards with this whole, test and punish regime and privatization. And they want to see good jobs. And people, especially statewide, but especially in upstate New York, people are pretty desperate for economic development that's driven from the bottom up, where people can get jobs that pay a decent living wage instead of a lot of these crazy tax break strategies like Startup New York, where we spend $53 million in advertising to get 76 jobs. People want real economic development.
$53 million
in advertising for Startup New York, and we got 76 jobs out of it.
Right. Well,
or the film tax credit, where we're losing money every year. Ordinary New Yorkers are giving away money to the film industry, where they're making billions to have them make films in New York. And even when you give the most generous calculations, we lose money on it every year.
Well, you lose money, but don't you get a certain amount of prestige and other things? But I mean, I go to the theater in the Berkshires and I look in the credits, and virtually everybody who's in any play has done a role in Law and Order. So. So isn't sometimes, don't you have to pay for some of that prestige?
I think, I think it's great when people make films and TV shows in New York, and I think they would, some of them would do it no matter what kind of tax credit they got, and the tax credits we're giving them are not helping ordinary New Yorkers get jobs or make ends meet. And our government fundamentally needs to be about making it so that ordinary New Yorkers can have a decent job, get paid a living wage, have decent public schools, and have a government that's responsive to them.
I'm getting a lot of mail about oil trains that come through Albany and upstate New York, and this show, of course, is heard on virtually every public radio station in New York. And people are quite concerned about pipelines. They're concerned about railroad tracks that are cracked and could spill oil all over the place. Does the Working Families Party have a position on this?
The Working Families Party has been working on a climate change agenda with a lot of the environmental groups in the state, and also been fighting to have the bomb trains trains be better regulated, so we don't have these trains that are so they're really not prepared to be carrying this kind of oil. And also, we would like to see limits on the amount of trains and volume of trains coming through New York, you know, carrying this very volatile oil. There needs to be a lot more. On the one hand, regulation of the oil that's coming now, but also what we really need is an aggressive plan for renewable energy, so we're less dependent on oil and less likely to have to bring in all of this fracked oil from North Dakota.
Well, is there any way that that's going to be a reality? I mean, New Yorkers use oil. You know, it's coming mostly coming through New York to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But people may think it's a little naive to think you can't have pipelines and you can't have, bomb trains.
I mean, I think we need to have we need an energy policy not only that protects us from the pipelines and the explosive oil trains, the bomb trains, but we also need an energy policy that looks ahead to the future and that deals with the fact that we're facing very, you know, dangerous climate change that's going to be devastating not only for our state and our country, but for the world. And we're not taking it on. We're not doing what we need to do.
In his excellent book on Andrew Cuomo, the governor, the contender, Michael Schneerson, deals with the Working Families Party and says that he was angry at you guys and perhaps in a get even mode. Do you feel that?
That the governor
is getting even with you?
I think that we tried to forge a partnership that would be better for the state of New York, that would allow us to elect a Senate that would pass legislation that we felt was important for working families in New York. We lost by one Senate seat, so we weren't able to implement that plan. I don't think the governor is doing what he could be doing even now with the Senate to implement that plan, and I wish he would.
Well, if you wish he would, let's look to the future. Let's assume for a second that he wants to run again. He's going to be coming back to the Working Families Party. I'm assuming that the scenario will be the same. Bill de Blasio will get up and try to get the, for whatever reason, because the two guys don't seem to get along that well, will get up and try to get the members to vote for Cuomo. Do you think a lesson may have been learned by the voters in the Working Families Party convention?
I think there's a lot of learning that's happened. I think that it's very hard to predict what happens 3 years from now. I do think that from the governor's point of view, you know, he said he wants to be governor again as long as the people will have him. I think if he wants that to happen, and he also has talked a lot about how he gets evaluated every 4 years. I think if he wants to have a shot at getting reelected or having anyone support him, vote for him 4 years from now, he needs to have a policy that's going to be in the interest of everyday, ordinary working families in New York State. And that means changing his education policy, changing his job creation policy, and making sure that we actually get campaign finance reform before he's got to run for reelection.
Do you think that Attorney General Schneiderman would be a better candidate than the governor?
So far, he said he's happy being attorney general. He doesn't want to run. I'm a big fan of our attorney general. I think he's done a fantastic job as attorney general. And I'm looking forward to seeing him continuing to do that and do whatever he wants in the future.
Well, I love having Karen Scharf with us on the Capital Connection. She's always fun. I like fun. We're out of time. Our guest has been Karen Scharf, as I just said, co-chair of the Working Families Party, executive director of Citizens Action. Karen Scharf, thanks so much for joining us today. It's always a great pleasure and an honor to have you here.
Thank you.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.